Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Yud Daled. Again, Rabbi Leibowitz is upstate and unavailable today, so I'll be filling in just for today. So today we're going to begin the second parak of the Masechta. We spent the better part of the first parak, and lately in the recent daf, and we've begun transitioning already to a discussion of Hatfasa. So in the first parak, we were discussing the various Lashonos of neder that work to create a valid neder. We discussed yados, we discussed kinuyim, but in particular, even in connection with yesterday's daf, Rabbi Leibowitz made the point that there are really two ways to articulate a valid neder. One is to say that this thing is going to be usur to me, or on me, period. Just to say that this kikar, this whatever it is going to be usur to me. So that's a direct neder. The second way to articulate a neder is to say that this kikar is going to be usur to me like something else. And the basic guiding principle that we had seen over the past couple of weeks here in the Masechta is that in order for a neder to take effect, behatfasa, you have to be matfis bedavar hanadur and not bedavar ha'usur. That the item that you were comparing the subject to had to be something that itself was also the subject of a neder and not something that was usur min ha-Torah. So the Mishnah that we're going to begin the second parak with is going to explain to us the various lishonos of hatfasas neder that are not going to be valid because we're going to try to be matfis the item with a davar ha-asur and not a davar ha-nadar. The Gemara is going to attempt to distinguish some various cases and figure out whether if you make a neder with one of these lashonos, whether you need a pesach in order to, whether you need an actual hatara, whether you need a she'ela on the neder with an actual pesach in order to ignore the neder, in order to violate the neder, or if we say that when we said that the neder is invalid, we meant that the neder is invalid, period, and therefore you can go and violate the neder with aplomb even if you don't, even if you're not shoel on the neder. The Gemara Amud Beis is then going to engage in a discussion of what happens if you say that this thing is going to be usur like a Torah. If you try to be matvis the davar another, if you try to be matvis rather the subject of the neder with a sefer Torah. So what do you have in mind? You have in mind that you are saying that the thing should be compared to the gvil of the sefer Torah, to the parchment, or do you have in mind that the thing should be compared to the askaros Hashem, to the Shem Hashem, which is mentioned, of course, many times in the Sifrei Torah, perhaps something else. So we'll see various shitas over there, and then the Mishnah at the end of Amud Beis, if we get to it, talks about a case where we have a situation where the guy says he takes a konim, he takes a neder that he is that he's not going to sleep. So basically, he says that konim shani yashan, that I'm not able to sleep. And then the Gemara, right in the beginning of the discussion of the Mishnah, again, should we get to it, is going to talk about what happens if you say that I am not allowed to sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. So do we assume that the guy is going to sleep tomorrow, that the guy is not going to sleep tomorrow? Can the guy sleep on the first day? Does it matter how you phrase the neder? So hopefully we'll get to that discussion at the end of today's shiur. But says the Mishnah in the beginning of the perek, ve'elu mutarim, and these lashonos, if you use them, are totally mutar. Chulin she'ochel lecha, chulin she'ochel lach, basically that whatever I eat of yours is chulin. So for the past couple of days, we were discussing what if you say lichulin or lachulin with a lamed, and we saw that perhaps lachulin means lochulin, which is carbon, because lo chulin, if it's not chulin, then it would obviously be a carbon. But if here all you're saying is chulin, so the Gemara is going to ask that this is pashut, because in order to make a valid neder, you have to be matfis. So we're going to say bedavar hanader. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that if you're matfis bedavar ha'asur, then that doesn't work as a hatfasa to create a neder. But chulin isn't a davar hanader, and it's not a davar ha'asur. Chulin is mutter, it's a davar heter. So the Gemara is going to discuss what the havamina here is of the Mishnah, but that is one of the lashonos that fail to create a valid neder, so it would be mutter. Kibasar chazir, if what I would eat of yours is a basar chazir, which of course is asar min ha-Torah. Kavodas kochavim, it's like avodah zara. Keoros levuvin, it's like the skins that are perforated at the heart. They used to take animals and they would perforate the heart of the animals, and they would perforate the skin of the animal, rather, and they would stick their hands in and pull out the heart of the animals. And that is considered to be tikroves avodazara. Kinevelos, vitrefas, kishkotsim, viramosim. If he says that the food that I would eat of yours is like a nevela or a trefa, shkotsim, viramosim, again, all of which are asurim min hatorah. Kichalas aron uchutrumaso. If he says that that which I eat of yours is like chalas aron, is like chala or like truma, mutter. So all of these lashonos are mutter. Why? So the Ran says, because in all of these cases you're being matfis bedavar haasur and not bedavar hanador. So the Ran walks through the progression of the Mishnah, and he says that chulin we're going to get to in the Gemara again. Chulin. We're gonna discuss in the Gemara why it starts off with chulin. But first we start off with basar chazer, which is asur ba'achila, but is mutar bahana. You're allowed to be nene from a chazer. Then we get to avodas kochavim. Then we get to avodas kochavim, which is asur bi'achila and also bahana. And then we discuss orus levuvin. Orus levuvin is not only avodah zara, but it's tikrovis avodah zara, and tikrovis avodah zara has an extra chumrah in that it can never be mevutal. You can be mevatel on avodah zara, but you can never be mevatel at tikrovis avodah zara. So again, but these are all isurim in HaTorah, but we start off with the isur achila, then we get to the isur ana, then we get to the isur ana she'en la batala, and after that, we start talking about isuri achila that have a very, very small shear of tumah, like shkatzim v'ramasim. And after that, we discuss chala and truma, because not only are those things asur ba'achila, not only is there a shear isur la'achila for chala and truma, but if a zor eats chala and truma, not only do they violate a law, but they're also chayiv misa. So the Ran says that there's a natural progression in the Mishnah of less stringent to more stringent isurim here. And also the Ran points out that there's a chiddush here, because one of the things that we say is matlus davar ha'asar is chala and truma. And the chiddush is that truma is not considered to be a davar hanadur, even though the way you separate truma is that you're kore shame on the truma that you're separating, and the chiddush is that the fact that you do a kriya shame, like the discussion we had a couple of days ago with the Bechar, the fact that you do the kriya shame doesn't turn truma into an iser davar anador. Rather, it's considered to be a davar asur because the Torah says that a zar cannot eat truma. It has nothing to do with your kriya shem. It's an isur min haTorah. So again, says the Ran, the chiddush here of all these things is that they're isurim min haTorah, and if you're matfis bedavar haasur, that is not a valid lashon of a neder. So then the Mishnah says something that is perhaps a little contradictory. Ha'omer l'ishto, if a guy says to his wife, Harei at alai ki'ima, you are to me like my mother. Now, obviously, it is usur midaraisa to have relations with your mother. So what you say to your wife is, you're to me like my mother. In other words, I am forbidding myself from having marital relations with you. So poskin lo pesach mimakam acher. What we have to do is we have to be shoel on the neder. But we have to, in the way the Mishnah is assuming that we know something about Shelas Neder, the way that Shelas Neder works is that in order to get out of the neder, we have to basically explore the neder with the person and say, if you would have known XYZ or ABC, would you have made the neder? And if he would, and if he says, oh, let's say for example, if I say I'm not going to have Hana from Dovi Kupfer, and then it turns out he moves right next to me, so I want to borrow milk from him. So if I want to go in and be shoal in the nether, I could go, well, had you known that he would become your neighbor and you'd be in a bind, and the only way you could get this thing is if you took it from him, would you have made the nether? And I would say, I would never have made the nether had I known the guy would move next door to me. So over here also, this requires she'ela, which is a little weird, because in the first part of the Mishnah we said that if you are noder bedavar ha'osar, it's not a valid nether. So if it's not a valid nether, the chorah shouldn't require she'ela at all. But says the Mishnah, it does require Shela, but it requires Shela mimakam acher. So what does Shela mimakam acher mean? So the Ran explains that a very obvious method of Shela here would be to say, you idiot, had you known that what you did is a terrible violation of kibud av va'em, because it is so massively disrespectful to say that your wife should be usher to you like your mother, would you have made this neder? Then a guy would of course say, no, had I known it was a violation of kibud av va'em and it wasn't derech eretz, I never would have made the neder. But the Ron says, you can't give him a Pesach like this. It has to be a Pesach, mimakam acher. In other words, a Pesach unrelated to the fact that his actual neder was a gross violation of kibud av va'em for whatever reason. And what's says this, so the Mishnah concludes, shelo yakel rosh alakach. So he shouldn't develop a kalas rosh in this respect. So what's the kalas rosh? So the Ran over here explains that it was the derech of Ameya Aretz to be noder on their wives frequently. Whenever they would get upset with their wives, they would say, "You're usher to me. I'm not going to have any hana from you." So his wife would burn his dinner, and he would start making the nedarim against his wife. And if we permitted him to violate the neder, if he was matfis bedavar ha'osur, without requiring any she'ela at all, then we'd be afraid, well, one time, maybe the guy would say to his wife, not you're usher to me like my mother, but you're usher to me like a karban. And then the guy would think, well, last week when my wife burnt my dinner and I was noder against her, I was able to get out of the nether without anything. So this time when I'm noder against her as well, I should be able to get out of the nether without anything. And because the guy's in Amaretz, he's not going to understand the chiluk between the davar asar and the davar anoder. So in order to make sure that it's in his consciousness that he always needs a she'ela, we say dafka for an Amaretz, explains the Ran, and dafka in the case of a nether against his wife, that even though he is noder Bedavar, he tries to be matvis bedavar ha'aser. In this case, dafka, he requires a she'ela, and again says the Ran over here about the she'ela being mimakam acher, that the she'ela cannot be that it's not kibud av va'em to make this neder. And says the Ran, that's also a chiddush. I would have thought that because this whole concept of Sheila is only midrabanan, because midoraisa, the neder isn't chal because he's being matfis bedavar aser, therefore you could have even a weak type of standardized Sheila over here. Kamash Balan, no, once we're requiring the guy to be shoal in his nether and to get a Sheila, it has to be a bona fide Sheila mimokam acher, and we're sort of treating this on a drabanan level like a valid neder in order so that the guy doesn't become accustomed to being noder. To being noder against his wife like this. So again, we explained that the Ran says that this applies only to an amaretz and only in the case of nedarim against the guy's wife, and it's because amaretz used to be accustomed to making nedarim like this, and we wanted to make sure that they wouldn't take it lightly. The Rambam, however, quoted by the Ran, appears to hold that the neder of an amaretz always requires a pesach. Even if it obtains to things other than his wife. Because even though true, he would be more prone to making nedarim against his wife, the whole reason that we require Shalir is because the Amaretz is unable to distinguish, he's unable to discern and appreciate the distinction between a davar anoder and a davar aser. And therefore, whenever an Amaretz makes a nether, says the Rambam, whether it pertains to his wife or anything else, will require this sort of she'elam edrabanan so that the Amaretz does not become accustomed to taking nedarim. Okay. Says the Gemara. So taima diyamar chulan she'ochelach. The reason that we say in the Mishnah that velu mutarim chulin shochelach, the reason why that's a lashon of heter is because he said just plain chulin shochelach. Ha'amar lachulin shochelach. However, if he said lachulin shochelach, that which I eat of yours should not be chulin. Mashma lo chulin lahavi ela karban. Like we've been seeing over the past couple of days, the mashmos of lachulin is lo chulin. And the implication of lo chulin, it's not chulin, but rather it's a karban. So money must nisin. So who's our Mishnah? Ira Meir, if our Mishnah is like Rav Meir, halesle michlalav atashamea hain. Rav Meir doesn't hold from michlalav atashamea hain. So it can't be, so Rav Meir cannot be the author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah implies that the only reason that it's mutter is because you say chulin. If you said la chulin, it would be asur, because la chulin means lo chulin. But Rav Meir is not medayik that la chulin is the lo chulin, but the flip side of it is that it's a korban, because Rav Meir doesn't say mechla la vata shemeah hein. Bela Rav Yehuda, and so if you want to say that, if you want to say that it's Rav Yehuda, hainu reisha, this is a reisha. What Reisha? This is already the first. This is the first parak of the. This is the first mishnah of the parak. How could it be the Reisha? So the Ron says Reisha means the mishnayis in the previous parak, where we've already established that the mishnayis in the previous parak go like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is the man d'yamar who holds that mechlal lav ata shemeya hein. So what's the chiddush here of saying that if you say the lashon of kulen, it's mutter? So that's what the Gemara is trying to search for. What's the chiddush here of the first line in the Mishnah? So says the Gemara, Aidi diktani kibasar chazir kavodas kochavim v'achi ketani chulen. Because we get to a whole list of them in the Mishnah of Dvarim Ha'asurim, that's why we start off the Mishnah with saying chulen. And the way you read the Mishnah, says the Ran, would be like this, that we're not supposed to be medayek in the lashon of the Mishnah that chulen means, oh, it's only because I said chulen, it's not because I said lo chulen. We're stam giving a comprehensive list of lashonos that would be mutter, and among the lashonos that would be mutter are Dvarim Ha'asurim, but even more basic among the Lashonos that would be mutter are Dvarim Hamutarim. If I try to be matfis my thing, my kikar, on a Dvar Hamutar, it goes without saying that it's not a valid neder, because the whole concept of a neder, the whole pretext of a neder, is that I'm assering it like something else is asser. So if I asser it like something else is mutter, then of course it's not a valid neder. Ravina says, now that doesn't make sense, because then still the lashon of chulin in the Mishnah is gratuitous, because it's pashut that if I'm being matvis on something that's neither a davar ha'asser nor a davar ha'nader, then it's going to be mutter. So Ravina says like this, hachiktani, the elu mutarim kechulin. What things? These things are mutar. Not that you said chulin shani yochalach. It's ve'elu mutarim kechulin. What things are mutar? Just like it would be mutar if you said chulin shani yochalach, because it's not a valid neder, because you're not being matfis in a davar another or a davar ha'asur. Kibasar chazir kavodas kochavim. Because if you're no there on a basar chazir avodas kochavim, all that stuff is going to be mutter, because it has the practical effect. It's just as effective, i.e., ineffective, as saying chulin shani ochalach, because it's not matfis bedavar another. Rather, it's an attempted atfasa bedavar aser that is patently invalid. That's Ravina's interpretation. Vilo tani chulin. And if we wouldn't have said chulin in the Mishnah, that hava mina boy shela, I would have thought that it requires shela midrabanan, like in the seifa of the Mishnah. That it doesn't, and therefore the whole chiddush of saying chulin in the Mishnah is not. It's not that it's teaching me a separate case of where a guy says chulin. It's coming to tell me that in any of these other cases, they have no effect, just like a guy who says chulin shani yochalach would likewise have no effect. So says the Gemara, well, that interpretation makes no sense at all. Umi kola suke al daita hachi, can you really say that were it not for the fact that the Mishnah said chulin, that you would have thought that all of these lashonos, which are invalid lashonos neder, require shela midrabanan? So hamidiktani seifa, from the fact that it says in the seifa, omer leishto, harei atalai ki ima poskun lo pesach mimakam acher, from the fact that it says in the seifa that if an amaritz is making a neder, that his wife should be yosered him like his mother, in that case we require shela with a pesach mimakam acher, michlal deresha loboy shela. It's obvious that if we first introduce the concept of shela in the seifa, that the concept of she'ela was not to be incorporated in the reisha under any circumstances. So I don't need the lashon of chulin the reisha to teach me that, oh, I would have had a havamina that I require she'ela, kamash malon, I don't. I never would have had a havamina that I require she'ela, because the reisha doesn't mention she'ela at all. It mentions she'ela only in the seifa. So I never would have thought this. So says the Gemara like this, elam mevart elam machvarta chulam emela nasva. You're right. that Chulin doesn't come here to teach me that these things are mutter, just like Chulin is mutter. Chulin is among the things on the list that are not a valid Lasha Neder. It's Pashut, because the whole Chiddush of the Mishnah is that these Dvarim Asurim are not a valid Neder, because I can't be Matfis B'davar Asur, Ela B'davar Anadar. Chulin is neither a davar anadur nor a davar aser. Says the Gemara in Echanami, you're right. But chulin is also, it's on the list of things that are not a valid neder. Why is it not a valid, it's not a valid lush neder? Because it's neither a davar anadur nor a davar aser. So you're right, itself, it's not a chiddush, but it's one of those things, that do not create a valid neder. So says the Gemara Viter. So Minani Mili, how do we know this? Zamar Kra, because the pasuk says like this: Ish ki yider neder la Hashem, ad sheyader bedavar another. What's the minani mili? How do we know what? How do we know that you have to be matfes bedavar another and not bedavar aser? That it says ish ki yider neder la Hashem, ad sheyader bedavar another. So the chiddush is that it's only a davar hanadur that creates a valid lashon neder. But not a davar ha'aser. So, afilu b'davar aser nami. So, but says the Gemara, really, is that a valid raya over here? Because if you look at the pasuk, what the pasuk says is ish ki yider neder la Hashem, oh he shavash vua le'esar isar al nafsho lo yachal devaro. You're quoting the Gemara only the first part of the pasuk, which says ish ki yider neder la Hashem. So I would think that it's asri matchis b'davar another. But if you continue reading in the pasuk, it talks about a davar aser as well. So iachi afilu b'davar aser nami daksiv lesar isar al nafsho. So it says lesar isar mi boile. L'chedetanya, the lesser isar is required for the following. Eza isar amr b'torah. What's the isar that it says in the Torah? So Kamash Malan, the Ron fills in that it is the isar that the pasuk is talking about is the type of isar that derives from his own neder. In other words, the lesser isar doesn't mean stam isur midaraisa. The lesser isar is a continuation of ish ki yider neder la Hashem. The iser that the pasuk is continuing to talk about is kidor neder lashem. It's talking about an iser that has its derivation in something which is usur only because it's a davar another. The Ron explains that what we're talking about here is somebody who takes a neder that he's not going to eat today, just like he is not able to eat on the day of his father's yard site. So, for example, let's say the guy's observing a yard site. He told, like we saw recently, the guy's observing a yard site, and he took a neder that he's not able to eat on the day of a yard site. So that neder, it's a personal neder. It's only shayach to him, right? But everybody else is allowed to eat on the day of his father's yard site. Only he who took the neder is not able to eat on the day of his father's yard site. So the chiddush is that when you're matfis b'davar hanadur, that the davar hanadur has to be something that's usur to him, lesar isar al nafsho, that even if the isur that results from his prior neder is shayich only al nafsho, is shayich only to him, that is still enough to consider it a davar hanadur that would give rise to a valid neder. But it says the Gemara basically that there is no davar aser that we're talking about here, because the whole idea here is all relating to a davar hanadur, albeit even a personal davar hanadur. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, Omer Lishto, Harei alai ki ima. So the Gemara quotes the Seifa of the Mishnah. So frek the Gemara v'raminu. So the frek the Gemara kasha harei atalai kebasar ima. If you are to me, says to his wife, if you're to me like my mother, kabasar achosai, like my sister, ka'arla, also asur midaraisa, obviously, ka'arla keklaya kerem lo amar klum. It's as if he didn't say anything. So amar abaya. So lo amar klum midaraisa. You're right. It's as if he didn't say anything midaraisa, but vitzarech sheila midrabanan. So, but he still requires sheila midrabanan. So what Abaye is trying to do is Abaye is trying to solve for the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Because in the Mishnah we said that if you say that Areya Atalai Ki Ima, then you require Sheila with a Pesach Mimakam Acher. In the Braisa we say, if you say Areya Atalai Ki Ima, it's Loa Mar Klum. That's as if you didn't say anything. So why is it Loa Mar Klum? I thought you should require Sheila Mimakam Acher. So Abaya says, when the Braisa says Loa Mar Klum, it doesn't really mean that it doesn't require Sheila. It's Loa Mar Klum Midaraisa, but Midarabanan, you require Sheila Mimakam Acher, just like in the Mishnah, Midarabanan. For the Amei Aretz who make the Nedarim against their wives, we require a Sheila Mimakam Acher. So Rava Amar, so Rava says, no, you don't have to distinguish and you don't have to read the Braisa like the Mishnah, but the distinction is implicit in what we just said. What did we say? According to the Ran's way of understanding the Mishnah, the Mishnah's rule of requiring a Sheila with a Pesach Mimakam Acher only applied to an Am Haaretz. So the Mishnah, which is discussing an Am Haaretz, says that you require the Sheila Mimakam Acher. The Braisa, which is discussing a Talmud Chacham, just says flat out it's not a Neder, no Sheila required, because a Talmud Chacham doesn't require Sheila for a Neder like this. Again, the whole reason, said the Ran, that you require Sheila for this is because we're afraid that this Am Haaretz is want to make Nedarim. He's going to make Nedarim. This time we happen to have gotten lucky he was Machfis B'davar HaAsur, which doesn't really take at all, but he might not be able to distinguish between a davar asur and a davar another. Next week he's going to make a nether against his wife being mafis b'davar another, and is going to think that he doesn't require shayla, just like he didn't require shayla on last week's nether. Therefore, the whole reason that we require this shayla is to safeguard against the bumbling Am Haaretz from making a mistake and in unwittingly violating what would otherwise be a very valid neder. Talmidei Chachamim don't have this issue, A, because they're not prone to making a nedarim against their wives, B, because they're able to differentiate between a davar anadar and a davar asur. So there's no reason for the gzeira. That's why if a Talmid Chacham makes a neder being matfis, his wife, and a davar asur, no shayla required at all. That's what Rava says. Vatanya, this Vatanya is Benichusa, Hanoder Betora. If a guy is Noder Betora on the Torah, Lo Omar Klum, he didn't say anything. V'yomer Rav Yochanan, we're going to discuss on Amud Beis, what exactly does it mean that Hanoder Betora? So V'yomer Rav Yochanan, V'tzorach Sheila L'chacham, that Rav Yochanan says, oh, but he needs Sheila L'chacham. In other words, he needs Sheila Midrabanan, even though Midaraisa, Lo Omar Klum, still on the Rabbanan level, he requires Sheila for this neder. Rav Nachman, Avraham Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says, "V'tamal Chacham ain sarach Sheila," and a Tamal Chacham does not require Sheila. Why again? Because a Tamal Chacham is capable of differentiating between a davar anadar and a davar asar. So now the Gemara is going to delve in a little bit and explain what exactly it means hanoder betora. So Tanya, so says the Braisa, hanoder betora lo amar klum. If a guy is noder on a Torah, it's as if he didn't say anything. So the Ran, first of all, over here, just importantly, the Ran says towards the beginning of the page, hanoder betora klomar shenishba betora, that he swears on the Torah. The kari le latana lenishba noder. The Tana over here is calling a guy who makes a shvua. It's calling it noder. A shvua is only effective on a shvua is only effective if you're swearing on a sacred object, right? That's why we have cases all over the Gemara about when we would impose a shvua in basin that would bring the Sefer Torah and you would have to put your hand on the Sefer Torah and swear, and that's why we see when Avram Avinu is Mashpi Eliezer, he makes him put his hand on his Bruce Mila, because you have to be matvis a cheftza shel mitzvah shel kedusha, really, when you are imposing a shvua on somebody. So the Ran says that's why you're holding a Sefer Torah over here. It's a case of shvua, and it's not a case of neder. Now, if the guy is swearing on the Torah, the Torah obviously is composed. The Torah is composed of two components. The Torah is composed of the parchment, and the Torah is composed of the words that are on the parchment. So the Gemara is going to differentiate the words in the parchment, of course, include also Askaras Hashem, and includes Hashem Hashem. So the Gemara is going to try to distinguish between situations where it's apparent that when the guy takes a shvua on the Sefer Torah, he has in mind only to include in his shvua the gvilin, the parchment of the Sefer Torah, versus a guy who's taking a shvua on the Sefer Torah and has in mind that he's being mashbia on the Azkoras Hashem in the Sefer Torah. So we'll see that if he's mashbia on the Azkoras Hashem, it's a valid shvua. If he's mashbia only on the Gevilin, then it's not going to be a valid shvua. So says the Gemara, Hanoder b'Torah lo amar klum. Because if a guy says b'Torah, I swear on this Torah, what he means is on the parchment. That doesn't have the same kedusha as the Askoros Hashem Sheba. But if he says b'masha kasav ba, that if I swear on what's written in the Torah, well, then I'm swearing on the Shem Hashem, then dvarav kayamin. Then that is a valid shvua. Ba u'b'masha kasav ba, dvarim kayamin. If he swears on it and what is written in it, then dvarim kayamin. So says the Gemara, this last case seems to have been thrown in here gratuitously. Katani b'masha kasav ba dvarim kayamim. If he takes a shvua on what's written in the Sefer Torah, then dvarim kayamim, then it's a valid shvua. So ba b'masha kasav ba tzarech l'meimar. If he takes a shvua on it and what's written in it, do you need to tell me that it's a valid lashon shvua? If I'm only being mashbia on what's in it, then it's valid. So certainly if I'm being mashbia on it and what's in it, then it should certainly be valid. So I'm Rav Nachman, lo kasha. It's not a kasha. Here's the way we interpret the brisa. Ha, the case of the seifa, the case of where he says, ba b'masha kasav ba, is the machta oraisa a'ara. That it's a case where the Sefer Torah is placed on the ground. The Shita Mekubetza says, don't worry, it doesn't mean that the Sefer Torah is literally placed on the ground. It would be a big bazillion to place the Sefer Torah on the ground. But what it means is let's say the guy is sitting here and the Sefer Torah is placed on the bima. On the ground means that the Sefer Torah is anywhere other than in his arms. He's not holding the Sefer Torah when he makes the shvua. So the seifa where he says ba b'masha kasav ba is where the Sefer Torah is on the ground. So ha the mitzia the middle case of the brisa of where he says b'masha kasav ba is the nakat lei biyade is where he's holding it in his hand. So, says the Gemara like this, Machta al Ara, if it's lying on the ground, and he says, B'mashe kasav ba, then daita gvile. Then we're afraid that he only has in mind on the gvilin, on the parchment, and not on the askaros that are in the Sefer Torah. Says the Ran, if he says, B'mashe kasav ba, how is he having das on the gvil? So the Ran explains, b'masha kasava doesn't mean what's written in it, it means what it's written on, because he's not holding the Sefer Torah in his hand. So if he were only to say b'masha kasava, that wouldn't be a valid lasha neder. Nakat labiyade, if he's holding it in his hands, in other words, in a derech kavod, and he's holding it close to him, and he's saying b'masha kasava, then daital askaros shabbat. Then we know that he has in mind to include to catch not the gvil of the Sefer Torah, but the askaros, but the Shem Hashem, which is written in the Sefer Torah. So the chiddush over here is that if he says that if it is lying on the ground and he says ba ubamasha kasav ba, then it's a valid lashon shvua. The whole reason why if he says only b'masha kasava is not a valid lashon shvua is because we're afraid he means the gvil and not the names. But if it's lying on the ground and he says ba b'masha kasava, so when he said ba, he meant the gvil. Therefore, we know when he says b'masha kasava, he means askaras hashem. If he's holding it in his hand, then b'masha kasava is enough because he's conducting himself b'derech kavod. He's treating the Sefer Torah b'derech kavod, and we know that he means with b'masha kasava, he means the askaras sheba. So that's one interpretation. Another interpretation is the machta ara, that the Sefer Torah is lying on the ground. Va'kamashmalan the afal gav the machta ara kiven the amar b'masha kasav ba mahani. So the Gemara now wants to say no. Maybe both cases are when they're lying on the ground, and if it's lying, and even if it's lying on the ground, if you say b'masha kasav ba, we do not assume that he meant to pick up only the parchment. We assume that he meant to pick up even the askaros that are in the Sefer Torah. And says the Gemara, you're right. In the last case is not a chiddush, because if when it's lying on the ground, and he says b'masha kasuba, we know that he has das on the askaros. Then certainly when he says the even more mafurish lashon of ba b'masha kasuba, certainly we know that he has his mind on the askaros. V'zu vein tzarich lomar zuktani, and it's a zu vein tzarich lomar zu. You're right. The last case of the Brisa is not teaching me any chiddush, but they're all talking about a case where the Torah is on the ground. So says the Gemara, another alternative, Viba Asema, Kula Mitziyasa Nami Denakat Lebi Yadei, that all of the cases are where you're holding it in your hand. Va'akamash Malan, Kivan Denakat Lebi Yadei, Afal Gav Delo Amar Ela Ba, Kamadi Amar Bamasha Kasa Badami. That all the three cases are where you're holding it in your hand. And the Brisa is to be read like this. You're holding it in your hand. If you said Ba, then it's not a valid shvua, because we assume that you had in mind only to attach to the gevilin and not to attach to the askaros. If you're holding it in your hand and you say b'masha kasuv ba, then we assume you don't mean that which it is written on, but you mean that which is written in it. In other words, you mean the askaros. Why? Because we interpret that the guy's lashon of ba, it's as if he said kemash ba u b'masha kasuv ba. And that's why when the guy is whole, because he's conducting himself with the lashon with the derech kavod, he's conducting himself with the sefer Torah, but derech kavod. Therefore, when he says b'masha kasuba, we assume that he means ba b'masha kasuba. Therefore, it's a valid shvua because he has in mind on the askaros. So, in other words, according to this interpretation, there was never a case in the sefer of ba b'masha kasuba. There was never a separate case in the seifa of ba b'masha kasuba, because that would have been pashut. If it's a valid lashon shvua when the guy says b'masha kasuba, certainly when the guy says ba b'masha kasuba, it's a valid lashon shvua. What the seifa is coming to do, it's coming to explain the mitzvah of the mish of the brisa, that the reason that b'masha kasuba is a valid lashon shvua is because we touch it up, we interpret it as if he's saying ba. Ubama ba ubamasha kasaba. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Konem shani yashin. If the guy takes a neder that he's not able to sleep. So the Ron explains over here that there's a girsa issues. The Ron says over here that the way you should read it is Konem Sha'ani Yashin, the way that I just read it. That Konem Sha'ani Yashin, even though the Ron points out that when the guy makes a shvua, he says Konem She'ani Yashin. Why? Konem that I am not going to sleep. Why the distinction? So the Ron points out something that we've been discussing again over the past couple of days, that the rabbis discussed over the past couple of days, is that the difference between, one of the major differences between a shvua and a neder, is that a neder is an iser cheftza. You're being aser, you're being oser the cheftza on yourself, whereas a shvua is an iser gavra. So by a shvua, which is an iser gavra, it should be a lashon of konim she'eni yashen. I am not going to sleep, because the focus is on the I, the focus is on the gavra. By a neder, which is an itzer cheftza, what you're effectively doing is you're assuring sleep on you. In other words, you're assuring the cheftza shall sleep on you. Therefore, it's konim she'ani yashen, not konim she'eni yashen. But if the guy says konim she'ani yashen, she'ani medaber, that I'm not able to speak to you, she'ani mahalech, that I'm not going to go, I'm not going to walk to you. Omer li'isha, if a guy says to his wife, konem shani meshamshach, konem that I'm not able to have tashmish with you, then areze below yachal devaro. All of these are valid lishonos neder, and therefore, if you violate this neder, you are over on the iser of bal yachal. You're over on the iser of lo yachal devaro. So says the Gemara like this, itmar, konem eini b'shena hayom. And again, we're interpreting this when we started to see this already yesterday, that certain objects that are abstract, you can't have a neder be matvis on them at all. So what it means when you say that sleep is usher to me, it has to be that konem eini b'shena, that my eyes are not able to experience sleep. Because the whole point of a neder is that you're being matvis on a cheftza. There's no cheftza shel shena. So says the Gemara, what if you have a case like this? Konem eini b'shena ayom im ishein l'machar. I am not able to sleep today if I also sleep tomorrow. So the question is, what do you do today? So you made this stupid neder that you're not able to sleep for 2 days straight. So what are you supposed to do? So I'm a Rav Yehuda Marav. So Rav Yehuda Marav says, Al Yishana Yom. Well, you can't sleep today, Shema Yashen Lamachar, because maybe you're going to sleep tomorrow. And what you said is, sleep should be usher to me today. If I sleep tomorrow, we're afraid that if you sleep today, maybe you're also going to sleep tomorrow, in which case sleep today will have been usher on you. Therefore, don't sleep today, and therefore therefore you're not going to be in danger of violating the nether. And Rav Nachman Amar, Yashana Yom V'lech Hashin and Shema Yashin L'machar. No, let him sleep today, and we're not afraid that he's going to sleep tomorrow, because the guy took a nether that sleep was going to be konim on him today if he sleeps tomorrow. So he knows that once he slept today, he better not sleep tomorrow, because if he does, he's going to be in trouble and he's going to violate Bal Yachel. So we have a machlokas here, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda says that the guy can't sleep today, lest he comes to sleep tomorrow. Rav Nachman says, no, let him sleep today. We're not afraid he's going to sleep tomorrow. Now, Moda Rav Yehuda, Bi Omer, Koneim Eini Beshena Lamachar Im Ishenayom. But Rav Yehuda agrees that if the guy flips the neder, and instead of saying, sleep is Koneim Ami today, if I sleep tomorrow, the guy says, sleep is going to be Koneim on me tomorrow, if I sleep today. So in other words, the actual Zman Isser is tomorrow, not today. Then, Sheyoshanayom, he should sleep today, and we're not afraid that he's going to sleep tomorrow. Why? Kilom Mizdar Bitzna Avo Bisura Mizdar. So Rav Yehuda says, well, you have to look at the guy's psyche. The guy is going to be very reluctant to violate the actual day of Isser. What he's not going to be as careful about is violating the day of Tznai. So what does this mean? So in the first case, he said that Koneim sleep on me today if I sleep tomorrow. So the Koneim sleep on me today, so okay, you know, whatever. He's either going to sleep today or he's not. But the next day, it's not the actual day of Isser. The day of Isser was the prior day. The next day is the day of the fulfillment of the Tznai. Either he's going to sleep tomorrow, in which case retroactively he's going to violate his neder, or he's not going to sleep tomorrow, in which case he's all good. But because that second day is not subject, it's not the subject of the Isser, the guy's going to be lax, perhaps. However, in the second case that we discussed, that koneim eini b'sheina l'machar, if I slept yesterday, if I sleep today, once the guy slept today, that second day is going to be the actual subject of his neder. The guy's going to be much more vigilant with the actual subject of his neder, and therefore he's going to make sure not to sleep. The Gemara is going to continue discussing these cases. We will leave that for Rabbi Leibowitz to pick up with tomorrow, God willing.